Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process as I figure out ways to keep my own home under control. I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 410. If I said 309 last week, y'all, then there was that other week where I messed up the beginning part. Anyway, please forgive me. I'm hoping to get my brain back soon. We'll see what happens. I'm recording this before basically a 2-week spring break because I've got college kids and high school kid who does not have the same, they don't have the same spring break as each other. So I'm kind of taking 2 weeks to enjoy my family, right? Anyway, hopefully that will restore my brain here. Okay. So I asked for some questions on Instagram and, I call this my rapid Q&A. Did I already say this was going to be a rapid Q&A? Anyway, I like these because it forces me to put things into very succinct, quick answers. And y'all know I don't do a lot of succinct, quick answers anymore. So, or ever. That's just not me. I'm a big words person, but I do think it's valuable to just like put things into this is what to do. Okay. And remember, as I say this stuff, there's more on all of these things in Decluttering at the Speed of Life. That book has 60,000 words on decluttering, addressing all the different angles and all the different struggles and all the different things that you resist as you work on your house, the things that make you think, oh, I just can't, because my situation is different. I've probably talked about almost exactly your situation in that book. And so there's lots of words and there's lots of other podcasts where I would probably talk about these different subjects for the whole entire half hour to an hour, right? But for this, my goal is to do short, succinct answers.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
First one, do you still shop at yard sales? If so, how do you stop during or after decluttering? I love an amazing find. I very rarely shop at yard sales. I'm trying to do this quickly, right? My way that I stopped shopping at yard sales was decluttering. That turned me off from buying other people's clutter because I had to painfully, heartbreakingly get rid of so many things I had found at garage sales that didn't have a space in my home. And so it made the things at garage sales look different to me. That doesn't mean I never go, but when I go, I generally go for a very specific purpose. I need such and such for this purpose. I remember seeing a lot of things at garage sales like that. I am going to go to garage sales and look specifically for that item. I still enjoy it. It's still fun to me, but it keeps me on track more. Okay, next question. Let's see here. How to get a 7-year-old on board? Everything is a favorite and containers are still too much. Okay, so start with the actual decluttering process. Make sure that you have it printed out so that you are reading it. And if they're 7, you know, maybe they're starting to do their own reading and you can kind of read it together. You can get a printable of the process that's in all the books and everywhere, but you can get the printable very succinct at aslobcomesclean.com/5 when you sign up for the newsletter. Go through the process. Remember that those first 3 layers, you are asking according to this 7-year-old's perspective on those things. So let's look for trash first. Let them be the one to decide what's trash. Hold your tongue because you're also going to be, you'll get to everything eventually in the process if they don't see it as trash, but hold your tongue because you're also building trust. Okay. And you're doing this together. So let's look for trash. They find trash, do that. They get out the easy stuff. What has an established home somewhere else in the house? Let's take it there now. Get it out of this space. And let's get rid of any duh donations. You're convinced they may not have any. Maybe they don't, but we still ask the question and we do that. When you get those first three steps done and you get those decision-free, easy items out of there, you're building momentum, but you're also making it less overwhelming. Okay. So that by the time we start asking these questions, where would you look for it first? There's not as much stuff that we're dealing with. It is less than it was before. It's also, you're seeing the visible progress. Okay. And then go through item by item before you get to the container concept. Where would you look for this first within their room? You'd look for it in that drawer. There's no space in this drawer. What are you willing to get rid of to create the space, you know, so that we'll have space for this item? Oh man, I know. I wish, but often that is the thing that they need to identify trash, right? Like, what are you willing to get rid of from this drawer or from this container for you to be able to keep this Hot Wheels car that you love so much? And all of a sudden, what is trash that they didn't see as trash before, they now realize, oh, wait, actually that's trash and there's room for this now. Okay, but really follow the process all the way through from the very beginning to the end. And it works. Okay. It works. All right. Next question. Again, these are the short answers, right? There are lots and lots of longer answers elsewhere in my stuff. All right. Messy, middle, and stuck. Help. Removing stuff doesn't inspire the wow like it did before. If you're stuck, go back to your visible space. Go back to your most visible space and go declutter deeper. Say, I want to make this even easier to maintain. My goal now is not just so much the visual impact of, wow, I got a lot of stuff out. But now my goal is I want life to be easier. And so I am going to get rid of more stuff in this space. Go back to the visible space so that you're seeing an impact there. Okay. Like I said, short, quick answers to what I know for a lot of people are very deep, not quick, not simple questions. What to do with emotional stuff taken from dead parents' house? Hard to even look at it yet. So if you've already brought it into your house, I would say first thing for you to do is just declutter your own stuff and don't look at that yet. Okay. Don't think you have to start with that super hard, legitimately incredibly emotional stuff. Okay. Go ahead and work in your visible spaces, work in all of that. Now, I know sometimes there's a time schedule, you know, when you're, if maybe you have to clean out something and you have to have it out by a certain date. But let's say if you brought this stuff home already and it's in the garage, start with other spaces in your home. Okay. Because there is probably other stuff for you to be doing and working on other than that. So do that because it will build decluttering momentum. It will also free up space for you to actually have places for the things that you do eventually want to keep. The next thing to do, if your house is perfect or if you're in a, you know, difficult timeline or whatever, is give yourself permission to, with zero commitment, go through the stuff with no commitment to actually making progress on this first look. You know, you're just looking. Don't wear mascara. Spend the time grieving. And think of it as I am just looking through things with the purpose of remembering at this point. I'm not actually getting rid of anything this time. I say that it's a quick answer for a really, really, really deep problem. Okay. So know that there's more to it than that. But there is value in that looking at stuff with no commitment to actually doing anything, because it starts to let your brain understand what there is. Okay. So the next time that you go in, you say, okay, I'm going to look for trash. You're going to be more ready to go in looking for trash if you've done that no commitment go through before, right? And you've just grieved it and experienced the grief there. Now go in looking for trash. I was given this example just the other day on some sort of a live somewhere. I don't remember where I was, but you know, somebody had a similar question. She just could not face her mother's things that were in her home where her mother had come for the last part of her life. And I get it. you know, I remember going through my mother-in-law's assisted living apartment. It was my job to go through everything. And it felt like everything was going to be emotional. But when I said, is there anything in here that isn't emotional? Is there anything in here that is trash or is a dead donation? Once I started looking at it that way, I was like, well, you know, her unopened package of Depends, you know, which were adult diapers, you know, like that she had needed at the later part of her life. I'm like, that is a donation. That is not actually sentimental to me. Okay. Or, you know, her stack of washcloths. Oh, okay. That actually is just a donation. So when I kind of separated it out and said, and just asked myself, are there any things in here? Is there anything in here? Whatever. Are there things in here that aren't emotional and actually are dead donations? Not going in saying, Dana, just throw some of this away. Just stick it in the donate box. I don't say that, right? I don't use the word just, even when I'm talking to myself. Instead, asking myself, are there any? Maybe the answer is no. But when I asked myself that, I was willing to say, oh, actually, yes. Her cleaning supplies, I'm going to need this, this, and this to actually clean this place up when I'm done. But other than that, the rest of it's trash, you know, whatever. That kind of stuff, there are non-emotional things. And doing that, getting those things out starts to build the momentum and it clarifies what is left that actually is going to have to be dealt with so that by the time you get to it, your brain has already started adjusting to that. And the other thing would be, as you get to the point where you are bringing things into your house, which you're not there yet, okay? But as you get to that point, shop from the things and bring in the things that you're willing to one in, one out, okay? So if you have boxes of things, shop from those boxes like, oh, I love this lamp. Okay. What lamp am I willing to get rid of? Because I love this lamp so much. And it will just help as you're bringing things in instead of just adding to what's already in your house.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know where to start. I'm overwhelmed and only see the whole house as a huge project. Start in the most visible space in your house. This would be the entryway, wherever actual people actually enter your house when they're to come inside. If nobody has been in your house for a long time, where did it used to be? Okay. Where did you imagine it was going to be when you moved into this house? Go to that space and start throwing away trash. That's all you need to do here to start. Because when you're looking at the house as a project, you need to know where to start. That's your most visible space. And you need to know what to do to start. And that is throw away trash. Okay. There's value in starting in the visible space because it gives you a place to start, but it also, progress there will improve your house. It will make you be inspired to continue decluttering because you'll see what you've done and you'll see the power of it and it'll keep you going. That builds momentum. And starting with trash is non-emotional, but it also helps you see, oh, this is what I'm actually dealing with here. And so now your brain is adjusting for the next time that you go back to be able to, move on to the harder things because now it's not the unknown anymore like it was before. Next question. I run a daycare from my house. Tips on keeping the kitchen tidy during the day. It starts perfect. So I don't know very much on any of these questions. So I don't know, do you make lunch for the kids? Do you not? Do they bring their own lunches? What kind of cutlery do you use? Blah, blah, blah. Two things here is what I would say. If you are the one doing the cooking for them, I would simplify on that. And I know that I've known people who their kids were in home daycare and their favorite thing about it was that their kid got this real meal, right? But I'm not saying to change what it is that you feed the kids, but I am saying, what can I do to simplify it? Because it's becoming an issue for me that the kitchen gets out of control. So how can I simplify this? How can I, I don't know. You know what I mean, right? Freezer cooking, anything like that, that I can do ahead of time so that I am just dealing with the serving dish as opposed to the cooking and the serving dishes. You know what I mean? Like, so instead of like, maybe it's just the casserole dish and not also the three different pots and pans that were on the stove, getting the stuff ready to put in the casserole or whatever you're doing. The other thing is, 5-minute pickups. And I know my mom, I was never good at this. And so I'm saying this as someone who was never great at this, right? But when my mom would have all the grandkids and do, cousins camp, she would give them each a very definite task that they would do during this time. So she had a little bitty, teeny tiny hand broom, I guess, and dustpan. She would give them that. You know, that was the littlest kid's job. And then everybody had, like, this person is going to pick up stuff on the floor. This person is going to push in the chairs. This person is going to wipe down the table. This person is going to do that. And everybody had a very, very, very specific job that they would do that obviously would, I remember my daughter had the job of using the little hand broom and dustpan when she was 2 years old. Like that was, and obviously you may have babies and stuff there too, but everybody had a job and yes, it takes them a long time, but it also kind of gave her time to do the things that she needed to do while everybody was working on their thing. So that's just an idea. You're the daycare person. I'm sure you're way better at organizing young kids than I am, but I would just say simplify and see how can I work in that 5-minute pickup thing? Like, how can I do this? How can I give them that? I know for me, when I was at camp, I went with our kids from our church to church camp last summer. And it had always been this huge frustration. Everybody hated it because on the last day when you were supposed to clean up before, you're supposed to clean the cabin before you left. And there would be all this resentment and blah, blah, blah. My daughter would just, tell me these stories and then so-and-so and then so-and-so is like, da, 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 da. Anyway, so the night before the last day, and these are teenagers, different thing, but take it how you want to use it. I made an incredibly detailed list of what needed to be done. According to, we had 23 girls. And so I came up with 23 jobs. And I mean, it was like, you're going to wipe this mirror and you're going to wipe this mirror and you're doing this and you're doing this. And some of the jobs were by necessity bigger than other jobs, but down to a girl, everybody was thrilled to have this list. They were so excited. Even the ones who got the worst jobs, who hate cleaning, were like, thank you for just telling me what to do. Thank you for giving me, I knew that this was my thing that I had to do. And even though somebody else had an easier job, they still didn't resent it because it took all that ambiguity away, right? And we were done literally in like 15 minutes because none of the jobs were huge because there were 23 girls and I had micro downed all of these jobs to teeny tiny little things. But we were done so quick and everybody was happy with that. So it's like, your job is to wipe down the table. Your job is to wipe down the seats of the chairs. Your job is to, which we all know, like kids love wiping stuff down, right? Your job is to wipe down the cabinet. Your job is to whatever, you know, but that kind of a thing, giving them all a job so that you also then can do what you need to do during that time. That would be my advice. I don't know. Okay, I love this question. Advice on how to not get mad at normal friends when they complain about their houses. I either want to scream or cry. I feel ya. I feel it. I do. I feel your pain. So I think that the best way is to remember that there are a lot of us out there like me who truly, truly struggle with all this kind of stuff, and that there are people listening who, other people in this conversation who maybe relate more to you, but are afraid to say it. Okay. I totally understand what you're saying, but also to know that we're often not talking about the same thing. And the more that you learn about what it takes to have your house under control, what it takes to get your house under control, what it is that they're doing that you're not doing, which is probably, and I'm not saying you're not doing it, but you know what I mean, which is probably daily pickups and, you know, the things that, understanding the layers of a clean house without needing to be told the layers of a clean house, right? That what I used to think was cleaning was actually, I was catching up on daily stuff and decluttering and then was too exhausted before I ever got to the cleaning. Most likely they already knew that kind of stuff. And so they've been keeping up with daily stuff and they try to keep clutter out because then, you know, so you're talking about two different things, and understand that, but also understand that there are plenty of people out in the world like you, and they are all listening to this podcast. Not all of them. We need to keep making sure that we keep reaching more, but understand that. Does that make any sense?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, here's a great question. What do I do when I don't remember that I have an item until I've bought a second one and see the first one when I'm putting that second one away? Declutter the old one. And the reason that I say that is that the pain of decluttering the old one is the thing that's going to remind you that, oh yeah, this is something I tend to overbuy. I have the same experience. I go to the store and it's like every time I go, I pick up this one item. But every time that you go to put it away and I realize, oh my goodness, I already had one of these. I've got to get rid of the other one, either throw it away, donate it, whatever is appropriate for it. That pain of, I can't believe this, as opposed to just, oh, sticking it in there until it's this cluttered mess. The pain of getting rid of it is the thing that will trigger you to not buy it again in the future when you probably already have one at home. That will make it more of a substantial memory than just the fact that you had this item and put it in there at some point. Do you have any suggestion what laundry routine might look like for someone without a dryer? Thanks. Yes, the laundry routine, I recommend a laundry day. Obviously, I have a dryer. That works well for that. But even for the people who don't have a dryer or don't have or do things in a way where they need to have it last 3 or 4 days because maybe they're on septic and they can't do all that laundry on one day with septic, The reality is that it's more about having a beginning, a middle, and an end. So it comes, so even if you, because you don't have a dryer, it takes you this many days to, you know, do the laundry, still saying, these are my laundry days. So I gather up laundry, and that is the laundry that I'm doing. Anything new that comes in is going in next week's laundry. And then you work through that laundry over the course of 3 days, letting it air dry, or however you do it, which I guess is the only way if you don't have a dryer, right? But that beginning, middle, and end to laundry is the key, as opposed to just the never-ending emergency loads, okay? What do you recommend as far as storing cookware and dishes on open shelves to avoid a cluttered look? I y'all know, I think I've said it before, but open shelving in my kitchen is my worst nightmare. Like, I have no desire. But if that's what you got, that's what you got. The only way to avoid a cluttered look is to have less. So everything has, I mean, really, really narrow down. I know that some people listening might be like, I already have narrowed down to one skillet. But the reality is that most people listening have never even considered that it's possible to only have one skillet. But the space that you have is the space that you have. So if you want it to not look cluttered, there needs to be less stuff. And so really, really narrow down, live with it for a while, experience, can you live with less stuff or not? But declutter, declutter, declutter. That's really the only answer. Okay, next question. How to put it back when I have to pull everything out without a chance to declutter first, replacing carpet? Okay, so if you haven't done it yet, I know you said you don't have a chance to declutter first, but if you haven't done it yet, as you are packing things up to get it out of that space because you're having to do the carpet replacement, okay, have both a packing box and a donate box so that if there is anything in a trash bag, if there is anything that you pick up with your hand that you immediately know is trash or donate, it goes into the trash bag or the donate box and not into the packing box, okay? Because that is literally not any harder than just sticking it in the box. And I'm saying duh donations, meaning you do not even have to think about it. You just know immediately that it's a donate, and trash, obvious trash that you immediately know is trash. Okay. So that sometimes it's that mentality of, oh, well, decluttering is all decision-making, except that it's not. So much of decluttering is in those first three steps, which involve no thinking, no decisions, no emotions. Okay. So have those things there so that as you're touching things anyway, if you already know it's a donate or if you already know it's trash, it goes into one of those two places. The other things go into the box. And then as you are unpacking it, this is a wonderful opportunity to embrace the reality of the space. You've got new carpet, have a fresh start, okay? As you pull something out of a box, it has to go to an actual, and I say it has to. Obviously, we all know we can do whatever we want to do. But if you're asking my advice and you're wanting to, really embrace the, where would I look for this first? Take it there now, embrace the reality of that space, okay? The first 10 things are going to be super easy because things were empty and it's like, oh, everything has a place. And then you keep pulling out more and you keep pulling out more and you keep pulling out more. Every time you pull something out one at a time, where would I look for this first? I would look for this for, oh, I've already put 6 things there. There's no room. Okay. Which thing deserves space the least that I can remove? Or maybe this item that I went to put there, actually, it doesn't deserve space there. So it needs to go in the donate box. So having that on both ends, the donate box, but then really taking advantage of the unpacking. It's very similar to moving in that. Okay, final question. Can you talk about breaking up sets, like the coffee cups and saucers from your dish set, if you never use coffee cups? I'm afraid, not sure why, to get rid of them, even though we don't use them and have never used them. Okay. What should I say about breaking up sets? Yes, you can do that. And I think that realizing I could break up sets of things, I could get rid of just the ottoman. If I love the chair and for some reason I bought an ottoman with it and the ottoman is only ever causing problems and tripping and people dump stuff on it, and it, but that was one of my personal experiences was, I was like, but it goes with the chair, but the ottoman is making my life harder and the chair is making my life good. So I can get rid of the ottoman. There's no, you can have just a chair. OK, Okay. And so I talked myself into getting rid of just the ottoman, and it freed up so much space. Well, same thing. Are the cups and saucers making your life harder? Are they something that you then have to shift around and move, and you don't have all the room that you want in your cabinet? And okay, then they are not worth your time, because they're not worth the time. They're not worth the effort. Getting rid of them would make your life easier for you to function, for you to live. And there are no rules about that. Okay. It's also, the more that I do this, the more that I avoid sets of things in the future. Now, I have to say, as the person that I am, there was a time when if you showed me a set of dishes and one of the packages said 95 pieces and the other package said 60 pieces, and I looked at them and I thought, well, I don't need all that stuff, but it's 90 pieces. That's more for my money. And I would grab the 90 piece set. So as you're decluttering other things, the more that you declutter, in my experience, the more I decluttered, the more I was ready to be more brutal and get over these hangups that I also had about breaking up sets. The more that I then would look at the packaging and think, yeah, I don't want 95 things. 60 things sounds better to me now than 95 things. But it was making that shift in my mindset. So go ahead and get rid of other stuff, all the stuff that you can. And by the time you get to your dishes, you're going to go, oh yeah, life is easier with less stuff. I'm more than happy to get rid of these things that I didn't want, because it just will immediately achieve less stuff. If you have an 8-piece setting and there's coffee cups and saucers for 8 different things, that is a big chunk of space that you're going to get back. Okay. Anyway, that's it. Okay. I hope this has been helpful. I hope it hasn't been too hard for Rachel to edit, because I feel like I have been a little all over the place today. But anyway, I hope you're having a great week, and I will talk to y'all next week. All right. Bye.